You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Chris Blacker. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for today. We thank you for your word. And I pray that you would go before all that I say, and Lord, that your spirit and your anointing would rest upon it. And I just pray that you would change hearts today. You've changed mine in the process, and we just give you thanks for this time in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Listening to Andy, great is the deception that we have out there in the world. And I just want to share it just briefly on the. I don't want to continue or cross what Andy said, but in our street, about five houses up from us, we have a house that has its front yard chockers, absolutely loaded with everything Halloween. They've got anything from spiders to skeletons, and it looks just horrible. And it's been really interesting, the creep that has started to happen from that house. The next house has now got some things out the front, and now it's come to our doorstep, and there's the house next to us, and it's all about kids. They've started to put some stuff out the front of their place. And the thing that I want to very much agree with Andy on is that it's about the kids. And much of what we've seen happen in the world, and you know, the world is racing faster and faster, is that it's the kids that are copying it. And great is the deception. And we are in a spiritual battle. But like the other thing that Andy said, we don't need to be afraid. And when I prayed last week, I said that we have God on our side, and we come from a place of victory. And so part of the message this morning is to speak into that and to give us a bit of help on how do we deal with that. And so the title for my message today is Navigating Truth in a World of Chaos. Navigating Truth in a World of Chaos. We've spoken over the last few weeks about the state of the world. It's been mentioned a few times, and for all of us here, there's very little we can do about what's happening worldwide. However, we can have an impact on our sphere of influence, what is around us. We can have an impact. And I would just add to that, we must have an impact on our sphere of influence. Much of what we see and hear now, unless it is right in front of us, has a question mark over it. How true is this? And then as Andy mentioned a few weeks ago, he talked about AI. AI will only increase the suspicions that we have. Is this true? Now, this isn't something that Jesus shied away from when he was here on earth, and it's not something that the Bible shies away from. So how do we know what truth is? Well, our political leaders certainly don't instill any confidence. They can't remember what happened yesterday and rarely answer questions they are asked, let alone truthfully. So when it isn't truth, it is a lie. When it isn't truth, it is a lie. Now, what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you and ask them this. Look them in the eyes and say, have you ever told a lie? Now, don't lie about this. Have you ever told a lie? And you can ask them this. Did you get caught telling? No, don't ask them this. But have you been lied to before? It's really hurtful and disappointing when you find out that you've been lied to. And if someone lies to you, from that point on, it's very hard to trust them anymore. When someone says 1 and 1 equals 3, you might say to them, that is incorrect. 1 and 1 equals 2. And when you hear them repeating 1 and 1 equals 3 to the next person, and they are corrected again, and they say, that's the first time I've heard that 1 and 1 equals 2, they're telling a lie. Because they've just been told previously that 1 and 1 equals 2. Now, you might think this is very simplistic. Well, it's hard these days to navigate that. And sometimes you don't find out something is a lie until it is measured against truth. Now, I have a little implement here. Can anyone tell me what this is? Plumb bob. Has anyone here done any wallpapering before? How many people have done wallpapering? We haven't got too many, which is probably a good thing. So there are many people that have done wallpapering before, and they've started to the left-hand side of the wall and worked their way across to the right-hand side. And once they get to the right-hand side, everything's out of square and everything is out of whack. When you're wallpapering, the idea of a plumb bob is that it is square. And you hang this not to the left of the wall, not to the right of the wall, but you hang this in the middle of the wall or close enough to it. And from there, you work outwards both ways. And by the time you get to the outside, you will see that maybe the walls are in the house are out of whack, but it won't be out of whack as far as it is from the other side. But you must start at the centre. It's not until you see the truth that you realise there is a lie being told or something is out of square. I want you to listen to Jesus' response in John 8. Now, it's not up on the screen, so if you're following in your Bibles, a lot of what I speak to is from John this morning. I know we've studied John, but a lot of it is from John. Listen to Jesus' response in John 8 to the religious leaders discussing who he was and what he came for. In John 8, 45, he said this to them, because I speak the truth, you do not believe me and continue in your unbelief. That's what the Amplified Version says. Now, the two verses before that, Jesus says this, why do you misunderstand what I am saying? It is because your spiritual ears are deaf and you are unable to hear the truth of my word. You are of the father, the devil, the great deceiver. That's not in the scripture, but the great deceiver. And it is your will to practice the desires which are characteristics of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And it's interesting, it says, and half-truths. Might sound like truth, but it's not really truth. Now, this followed after Jesus has made the statement, and we've probably all heard this before. He said, if you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus came to set the record straight. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the first and the last. He was and is the Word, the Logos. He is the cornerstone, and he is, if you receive him, the plumb line to our lives. In John 1:14, before I read this, I ask the question, who is Jesus for you? John 1:14, and the word Christ became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory, a glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, and absolutely free of deception. Do you believe that? So Pilate said to him, this is in John 18, this is just before Jesus is going to the cross. Pilate said to him, then you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am king. This is why I was born. And for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. For this I have come into the world, Jesus said it himself, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, this is pretty strong words, who is a friend of the truth and belongs to the truth, hears and listens carefully to my voice. And then Pilate said to him scornfully, in jest, what is truth? As in, is there really any plumb line? Is there really any cornerstone? Is there really anything solid in truth? And Jesus is the truth about life. He is the truth about his kingdom. He is the truth about sin. He is the truth about salvation. He is the truth of the gospel. He is the gospel. He is the truth about God. And if you like, he is the truth about your life. So how would you answer the question, what is truth? See, truth is not picking what we like and saying, that's truth. You can't do that with truth. In our culture, truth is all over the place. It's whatever you want it to be. Now, in the Greek, from that scripture in John 18, where it talks about truth, it comes from the Greek word aletheia. And it is what is true in any matter under consideration. Truly in truth, according to truth. And secondly, it says of a truth, in reality, in fact, in certainty. And the dictionary says this. The dictionary says, the real facts about a situation, event, or person. Now, I read a scripture in Ecclesiastics, and it's quite apt and it's quite strange in these days. But we all read it and we go, well, that has to be right. And it's Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3, and it says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. So if the clouds are full of rain, hello, it's going to rain. Does anyone disagree with that? Right. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it is. Wow. It fell down where it fell. But this is what it's like these days. This is in a conversation with someone. Well, I don't think the tree fell to the south or to the north. I think it fell to the west. And then you respond and you say, well, it did actually fall to the north because that's where it's lying. It fell there. Well, even if it did fall to the north, I'm saying it fell to the west. But it's lying to the north. Response back, you cannot tell me it's lying to the north. And the very fact that you're telling me that it's lying to the north is hate speech. It might be true, but it's hate speech. This is the world in which we live. When you hear that dialogue, you might think, what is the point of having a discussion with someone like that? But great is the deception that we live in. We are called to be salt and light, as Andy mentioned. But we can't do this on our own. In John 16, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the help that is on the way. And the same spirit that he's talking about, if you are a Christian in this room today, lives in you. The same spirit he's talking about. And in John 16, 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's up behind me. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father. The message regarding the Son. And he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. And then as we move to chapter 17, Jesus then prays for the disciples. And this prayer is not just for the disciples at the time. This prayer is for every single one of us. And it's very powerful. And you can follow behind me as we put it up on the screen. It says, I have given them your word. It's interesting, Dave's word this morning kind of backed this whole thing up. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you have taken them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And here's the kicker. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. That's for every single one of us. God's desire is for you to be sanctified in truth. Satan's desire is to lie to you about everything, small or big lies, and deceive you because he's a deceiver of the brethren. There's three things that he asks in this. To protect them from the evil one. This is what he prays. To know what is truth and to send them into the world to be salt and light. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4, Paul charges some of his leaders and he says this, and I think this is really apt for where we're at in the world today, and it was obviously apt back then. Some things don't change. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. It fell to the north. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. To suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So how do we navigate truth in a world of chaos? We need to understand what truth is. When I was working many years ago, running a business, a timber business, one of the things that we used to get come across our desk was an ambit claim. Does anyone know what an ambit claim is? How many people here know what ambit claims are? So not many. It's when the union would send, they would send a document and basically they would be saying, these are the things that we want to put in place. And it'd have ambit claims like just out there. It'd have things like, we're asking for a two-day week. That's what an ambit claim would be. It'd be just crazy stuff. And funnily enough, if you read the ambit claims from 30 years ago, some of them are in place now. And so sometimes things come across your desk and you're not sure how to respond. And so you've got to decide, is this truth or is this a lie? Is it half-truth or is it a lie? And so in and through that, we've got to navigate what truth is, number one, and number two, we've got to learn how to respond when we're dealing with others, because we're meant to be salt and light to those around us in the world. And so I've got five very quick things based on, I think they call it an acrostic. So if you're taking notes, if we can put it up on the screen, Andrew, that'd be awesome. Trust. So this is truth, if you read it, truth, T-R-U-T-H. Trust, revelation, undivided attention, timing, and humility. So think of it from the process of how do I respond to a lie, or how do I respond to what I hear, and how do I be salt and light to those around me. Before I do, I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about this. This is a personal question. Do you fit Jesus into your worldview? Do you fit Jesus into your worldview? Or do you fit yourself into Jesus' worldview? Do you fit yourself into Jesus' worldview? So the first thing we want to talk about is trust. Do we have any water skiers? Any water skiers here? Anyone done water skiing before? How many water skiers we got? You're not in trouble. It's okay. Up high. How many water skiers? It's the only real type of skiing. I remember when I first learnt to ski, to water ski. And I was what you would probably call a slow learner. Before I tell that, I just want to read this story, or read this scripture. And I'm just going to read verse 5. No, I'm going to read 5 to 7, sorry. Let's read 5 to 7. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. So when I learned to water ski, I remember I didn't learn to water ski on a single ski, but on double skis. And I remember this time that it took me six times to actually get up and ski, six or seven times to get up and ski properly. And the boat driver was beginning to get frustrated because I basically come out of the water and then feel like that I need to overcorrect. And so what I would do, he said, whatever you do when you come out of the water, keep your arms straight. Because there's enough power in the boat to be able to handle your weight and get you up on the water. So anyway, after the sixth time of, as soon as I got up out of the water, I'd try and pull my arms in, and of course what happens? Your legs go out from underneath of you, and you end up horizontal and look like an absolute goose, and fall off and your skis go, and then you've got to swim and find your skis. And I remember after the sixth time I'd done this, he came round to give me the rope, and he virtually swore at me and he said, I am so sick of telling you, stop pulling your arms in, keep your arms straight. Don't do what you think you need to do. The deal is keep your arms straight. Trust is a really important thing with truth. God's got enough power in His boat to handle your situation without you getting involved and pulling your arms in. And so when we're thinking about trust, there might be things that you read in Scripture and you think, no, I'm going to do it my way. You need to trust God that His way is the best way. It's hard to trust in the truth when you've been brought up or learnt a different way. So for some of you here, you might have been brought up in a Christian home and it's, you know, no problems at all. But for others, you haven't, and you're learning another way. Trust God. There's enough power in His boat to deal with your situation. The second thing is revelation. What do I mean by revelation? Well, revelation is something that, let me describe it this way. So I got a revelation on forgiveness in my life about 25 years ago, and I don't want to go into too much detail because of time, but I remember listening to this message, and I had some major unforgiveness in my life, and it was causing me grief. And I remember I was in my car, and I remember hearing this message, and a revelation is when the light goes on, and you've heard the Word of God, and you might have heard it 15 times, and the light goes on according to the situation you're in. And I remember tears coming down my face, realizing that I needed to forgive someone who had hurt me. And over time, I got a revelation on forgiveness, on, you know, it's not a feeling. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's a decision we make. And I got a revelation on it. And so So, but if we're not in the Word of God and we're not spending time with Him, we're not going to get a revelation. And it's important that, you know, when we consider truth, if we don't spend time with God, we're not going to get a revelation. Ephesians 1:17 says this: I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you. So if he's praying that he can grant you, this will happen, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And this in the brackets is really important. That gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. For we know the Father through the Son. God will give you revelation. He will give you wisdom for every circumstance. All we got to do is ask for it. But again, don't be reliant on our old way of thinking. Cover yourself in the Word of God. So the third thing is undivided attention. And I don't want to go too much into this, but let me read James 1, 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Now, there is a thought process that women can do two things at once and men can't do two things at once. But fortunately, or unfortunately, I'm now living with a psychologist. And on what she says, because I don't know, I just go out there and paint houses. But she told me that no one can do two things at once. Now that's with menial tasks. But if you're feeding yourself with different things, and you know, Andy spent time talking about a few weeks ago, with social media and different things, if you're feeding yourself with those things that aren't truth, or you're not sure whether they're truth, you haven't got undivided attention to God and His Word. There's always going to be things that come across your desk and come across your path, but make sure that you are feeding with the right information and the right knowledge and the right wisdom from His Word. So that's undivided attention. Four, timing. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is existing forever and who was continually existing in the past and who is to come, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the ruler of all, the same yesterday, today and forever. Jesus was the truth, is the truth, and will always be the truth. There is an interesting thing that happens in the body of Christ, and this is a very dangerous line that you often hear people say. That was only for that time. That was only for that time. That's not relevant today. Well, I'd be very careful about that one, because God is a loving God that doesn't change. And yes, He's a God of truth, and yes, He's a God of grace, but He is still God, and His nature doesn't change. Don't get caught up in the whole timing thing when you hear people talking about things that aren't relevant anymore. They're relevant, all right, and I'd be very careful when you hear things like that. Make sure you get a good backing of Scripture before you hear someone pull that line on you. The last thing is number five, which is humility. And I think this is so important. Micah 6 verse 8 says this: He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Do justice. There's the truth part. To love kindness. There's the loving part of God. And to walk humbly with your God. It's very similar to the first point that I gave about trusting God. But we not only need to walk humbly with our God, but if you do get someone who thinks the tree fell to the west and not the north, we need to not be arrogant, but to be humble in how we respond to people. That is what God says is required of us. To be just, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. I don't need to explain to you what humility is, but the opposite of it is pride. And God says that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So in closing, the message today is navigating truth in a world of chaos. We have a role to play. We have a role to understand what truth is, and we have a role to be salt and light to those around us. Not to just come on a Sunday and sit here and say, that's a nice message. There are people out there who are lost. They need the truth, whether they like it or not. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for your word, and it is truth. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in your truth. Help us to honor you in our lives by living the way you have called us to live. But also, Lord, help us to bring truth in the way you would have us bring truth to those who are around us and a world that is lost. For they need you more than ever. So, Lord, we just give you thanks for these things and for this time that we have together. And we pray them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.